News Radio KMAM. Good morning. It's Thursday, 7:03. I'm Dave Lewis. One of the things that we have been doing here on a regular basis, especially most recently here with a little bit more advanced numbers coming in from COVID-19, is providing you some updates. We had Julie Gibbs with the Bradley County Health Department on Tuesday, and Bob Koppel handles the Thursday interviews. And we say good morning to Bob Koppel. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Morning, Dave.
Let's hope for a happier 2021, shall we?
Let's do that.
Well, let's bring us up to date on some numbers. We had in our story this morning that there were 16 positive patients, but you also have another rather auspicious number to report upon today, and that is a couple of additional deaths due to COVID-19. Can you give us some details on these two patients?
Sure, Dave. And so actually this morning we're at 15 positives. We did have a couple patients who just discharged home yesterday, and then we also had two additional fatalities. One of these was a patient in our ICU. The other was up on our medical unit. Both had been with us for a number of days receiving care, and families had elected to, when care is futile, that's when we need to have those conversations. And so, again, two additional fatalities. I believe one is a Riley County resident, and the other was a Pottawatomie County resident.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly want to express our condolences to those families. And actually, I have to say thank you to our staff and physicians who were caring for them and did their best to hopefully have a different outcome.
One of the things that I've seen and typically posted on social media from folks that have had loved ones that have died is that it's so frustrating that they're not able to spend, family members are not able to spend, final moments with those individuals. Is that still the rule at Ascension Via Christi?
So we've actually tried to accommodate what we call end of life. When people are at end of life, we've tried really hard to accommodate patient families to allow them to be there. And in the case, just I can speak specifically because I was up on the medical unit yesterday afternoon. The spouse was actually with our patient when they passed. And, of course, our nursing and care team there with them as well. And so, we've actually, I would say the bulk of the times when we've had people die of COVID, there's been a family member there, at least one, and sometimes more. There have also been instances actually when the families, either themselves were positive or having other health issues, and so they were not able to be there. And so, we always have our team there with people when we get to that point. But we've tried to accommodate that. It's also just timing and getting people here. And, we do screen everybody gets screened still. We do our screening questions and temperature taking at the entrances, escort people back to the appropriate unit. But we certainly try to have family there, and that's not always possible.
What kind of measures are taken to allow for the safety of those guests coming in to see their loved ones move on?
So, again, there's also the initial screening. If they're in the room with the patient, actually they're wearing PPE as well. We provide that for them. And, quite honestly, most people need some education and coaching, even how to wear the PPE, how to put it on, how to take it safely off. Hand hygiene is actually really key when you're taking on and off your PPE, so that's something that we work with folks. But, again, they're there in the room. Depending on the condition of the patient, quite honestly, a lot of times the patients are aware. But I do think it is not the ideal situation, obviously. When people are wearing PPE, you can't see them as well. And you want people to be able to have that last connection. And that's just something we've actually had to work with even, I think it's been a challenge for our patient care staff is that our patients really can't see them and haven't been able to see them now for 9 months. And so that's a struggle because, these are people that are taking care of you, and we want you to know them and get to know them. And I think all of the precautions are somewhat of a barrier to those patient-staff relationships.
Well, it's a tender time, obviously, and I know that, the staff doesn't like to see those moments, but it is certainly nice that, you're able to make some accommodations for those loved ones to be present. Let's talk a little bit about vaccinations. You had quite a run this week with vaccines for staff at Ascension Via Christi.
Yeah, so on Monday, we did a clinic. I think we did 95 vaccinations, and that was actually the last of our Pfizer vaccine allocation. So that was 300, and, I think we were at 353 total by that point. And then we had another clinic on Wednesday, got more medical staff and more staff through. That was another, let's see, 86, I believe. So that puts us at 439 total who are now vaccinated here in Manhattan. And that is, again, a mixture of medical staff and then also our own staff. And then we've also vaccinated 60 of our physicians and medical staff or team over in Wamego as well. You know, I guess a couple things I would share with you, Dave. 100% of the physicians in this community who are on our medical staff, when given the opportunity for a vaccine, have taken it. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I think hopefully that the people in our community are hearing that and understand that these are our leaders of health in our community, and 100% of them have said that's certain. And so it's just a matter of getting, you know, people actually scheduled and in the queue. We have another smaller clinic on Monday because we've got some folks who are just out this week. We got some medical staff who are out of town or couldn't be here because of their own clinic schedules. So we will pick up the last few of our physicians, and then really we're getting to the tail end of all of our staff here as well. So our vaccines have actually, you know, less than 3 weeks, we've vaccinated, I think, a total of 499 people. We've used up most of our original allocation. We did get an allocation this week of Moderna vaccine, and so that is what we used, you know, on our clinic yesterday, Wednesday, and that's what we'll be using next Monday is the Moderna product. So.
Okay. Well, that's good news for your staff, no doubt about that. How have things been during the holiday break here with staff? And I know that there's been concern about, you know, do you have adequate staff to continue to treat, you know, the increased number of patients that you have in the hospital?
So, you know, I think things are okay. That's a daily challenge. We actually meet every morning at 11:30 on weekends. We meet at 11:30 via Zoom or Google Meet. On Christmas Day, we had a group text just to check in on where things are. And it's very, you know, so on the one hand, we actually have the fewest number of staff currently out right now that we've had for over a month. So that's a real positive. And then, you know, things just kind of happen sometimes that you can't really anticipate. We had 5 babies born on Christmas Eve and 4 born on Christmas Day. And that actually is a lot for us, and especially on that particular holiday. I have to give kudos to our leaders because both our OB supervisor and OB manager actually worked Christmas Eve and Christmas Day helping their team just because that's just a whole lot more babies than we typically are going to have. And so they're there to help fill that gap and take care of people. So, you know, you have just those kind of natural things happening too. We have started to see just kind of across the board kind of more of our, you know, what I would say our normal rise in patients this time of year. So that's kind of part of the daily monitoring is we actually have just a lot of patients, and then you kind of layer on top of that the COVID patients.
Also, when you take into consideration that tomorrow is New Year's Day, you may have some happy news to report, maybe not on New Year's Day, but in the few days to follow with the first baby of 2021.
Yeah. Certainly, that's always something. We have actually some local groups provide some neat gifts, a little basket and stuff for that kind of our first family of the year. So that's always something that's kind of watched for with anticipation. We've got, you know, again, we'll see who that is. You know, I think, David, it is important that we also do look ahead to. So I think the vaccine is kind of the beginning. And, you know, there's actually been a lot of press over the last 24, 48 hours about the concerns with, you know, getting vaccine out across the country. I think certainly some of that's warranted. I do think locally, you know, we've done a fairly good job. The health department has actually vaccinated several hundred people already. And they're kind of working down through the priority list. And I think the one thing that we have all seen, there's a lot of people, I think you and I talked about this last week, there's a lot of people who perhaps see that their priority is higher than their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, again, we just got to all have a little patience in working through that. But also, you know, it's incumbent upon those of us who have access to the vaccine to make sure that we are following the prioritization list.
The vaccinations for your staff, is that considered to be a morale boost?
You know, I think for some people, it's really interesting, actually. So, you know, like everyone else, we've got some declinations. A lot of that related to, say, current health issues that those individuals are going through, a couple of religious objections. But, you know, I think for the most part, people are, one, they're grateful. A lot of people are actually surprised that we have vaccine already in Manhattan, America, because, you know, Kansas specifically, but, you know, we've not always gotten, been first in line, if you will, to get support over the last 9 months. And so I think a lot of people are grateful. Again, you know, I come back to our medical staff. It's been really interesting. You know, these are very educated, well-trained individuals, and, you know, you're calling them or texting them saying, hey, we're setting up a clinic. We got a vaccine that we weren't expecting. We're going to be able to do this week. And they are changing their personal schedules, coming in on their days off because some of them are, you know, they're out this week, changing their clinic or their surgery schedules just so they can get vaccinated because they really understand this is a huge opportunity. We got to take it and let's move on because this is kind of the beginning of, you know, changing our situation and not having to be so concerned or fearful about this virus.
Well, there's definitely been a lot of consternation throughout 2020, and hopefully 2021 we'll have more good news. And I know that a lot of people in the medical world are keeping an eye on this new strain of COVID. I understand they've nicknamed it COVID-21. It's been reported in Colorado and now California. And you know, it doesn't seem like that there's that much of an end to a lot of it, but it definitely seems that with folks doing better with social distancing and wearing masks, that there are some improvements.
Well, I think you definitely see a difference, even in our own state, county to county, of where, you know, those kind of three practices of the hand hygiene, the social distancing, and wearing masks, where that's taken hold, and you've kind of created some stabilization. And where that hasn't really taken hold, and that's where I think, you know, again, a lot of the source of some of our current volume is actually coming from.
Certainly.
You know, I guess one other thing, it's been important, and I actually sent a note to our leaders this morning, Dave. You know, I really do think it is important that we look back and we reflect on this last year, the whole year, not just the last 9 months with COVID, but, you know, and we really have seen some good things happen, too. And I think that's important for people to reflect about that as well. We have a relation, you know, quite honestly, Dave, would you and I have ever been talking on the radio every day for 6 weeks like we did back in March and April?
No.
You know, it's things like that. You just got to stop and say, you know what, our organization has a much better relationship with our county health department now than we did on December 31st of 2019. Just guarantee it.
Yeah.
And there's really all, we've really got to look at some of those positives. And we've had some people in our community who have really stepped up.
Well, Bob, you and the entire medical staff, thank you for all the work that you have done and continue good wishes into the new year. We do want to put out a quick reminder that the free COVID testing with Well Health? Okay.
Sorry, I'm blanking too right now.
Yeah. 9 to 5 today. Typically, it's 9 to 5:30, but with New Year's Eve, it's 9 to 5. They're off tomorrow for the holiday and off on Sunday, but they do this Monday through Saturday from 9 to 5:30. But they've shortened their hours for today and for Saturday, closing up at 5 o'clock. And so, if you have not yet had a test done, there's an opportunity for you to do so, and it's free.
Yep.
Which is good news.
People to do that.
Bob Koppel, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate all of the efforts that you and Julie Gibbs have done throughout the year in keeping us informed. And, you know, we got to put Vivian and David Adams in that group as well, because Vivian Utello with the city, they have done nice work, you know, with this task force and keeping us up to date and our listeners well informed as to what's going on with the local battle on against COVID-19. Happy New Year to you. And let's look forward to a New Year baby celebration.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
Thanks, Dave. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital, joining us this morning on KMAN. We went